Solemnity of Corpus Christi, the most holy body and blood of Jesus Christ, presence in the sacrament of the Eucharist. So much can be spoken of. Countless volumes have been written about the subject of the Eucharist. What could be said? Well, I'm going to focus on one particular thing today, the body. I'm talking about our bodies, our fleshy, sluggish, prone to error bodies. The body is it's an incredible thing. For some reason, God has designed it so that it can adapt to circumstances, that it can, when subjected to stimulus, some sort of difficulty or challenge, that it can adapt to it and grow. It's a wonderful gift. It's a wonderful gift to us. As an athlete, well, as a former athlete, a washed up athlete now, I think most would say, I understand what subjecting the body to rigors, to weights, to conditioning, and how it responds. Subject them to more and more of the same things, they grow, they adapt, and they change. The cells develop, the muscles adapt, all of the nerves, all of it changes and adapts so that it can better and more efficiently address the stimulus, right? Same thing for musicians. So musicians train their voice, they train their hands, for organists, their feet as well, to better play and be more attuned to minute little changes. Sort of the technical aspects of using your fingers to play the guitar or the piano or the organ, and even developing your voice. Some of you have said, I have a decent voice. I don't think it's very good. It's prone to being very hoarse, but it's a lot better than it used to be. And I've trained it. I've just sung a lot. I've actually participated in singing, and it's helped. It's improved. So musicians also can train. But even just our own brains, when we do something fulfilling, when we do something that brings us a lot, or in our bodies, a lot of joy and fulfillment, the brain, it codifies, it makes stronger the electrical synapses that it took to accomplish that activity or that fulfilling task. So what happens in your brain is it learns how to do something that's fulfilling, and then it codifies, it strengthens those sort of electrical impulses. This isn't scientific. I don't know if I'm above you or below you right now in terms of science, but it's amazing what the body does, what it can do to stimulus. So that's an aspect. We subject it to stimulus, right? And it adapts to that. But in order for it to adapt, it needs nourishment, right? So we have to feed it, right? So I was just in Greece with my family for my little vacation before I start ministry on Tuesday. Our like one big chunk of vacation we're like guaranteed to have as priests. And so I was over there and they had tomatoes. I mean, they had like amazing food. And so I was like nourishing my body and I felt like, oh, like I feel great, you know? I'm like eating like pure things, you know? This was like grown right here. We visited family and we had chickens from their farm and rice that they didn't make but their neighbors made. It was amazing. Now granted, I also had a lot of bread and other things too, so I don't know, health benefits. I may actually be worse than I was, but in order for our bodies to adapt to the stimulus, we need to nourish them, right? There needs to be something that our cells can use in order to develop and change. That's essential. Now, the difficulty with having bodies that do this sort of interaction is that we can nourish them, but if we don't subject them to some sort of stimulus, they don't grow. So if we were to just hide ourselves in a dark closet and just eat all day, we're not going to become Olympic athletes or good musicians we're not really going to use any of that nutrition, much of it, towards growing. We may grow in places that we don't want to grow. But what happens when we don't subject our body to some sort of difficulty, some sort of stimulus, some sort of challenge, and yet try to nourish it, we don't see much growth. We heard in the first reading that God subjected the Israelites to a period of fasting. And that period was designed for them to help to understand that they aren't in control and that they need God. They couldn't provide their own food and they were hungry. And what did God do? He fed them from manna from heaven. And he says, I am God, I can help you. I am truly your father, you need me. So he subjected them to fasting. So that was sort of the stimulus for them, right? There was some engagement of a challenge. And what happened? They were nourished by God, and they learned that. This is more of a spiritual thing, because the body just thought it was bread. So they just got bread after fasting, and they said, okay. But the mind and the soul understood differently. The stimulus was, we can't provide for ourselves, God can provide, and he does provide. And that was a walking into sort of the challenge. Okay, so how does this apply to the Eucharist? What does this rant about the body have to apply with the Eucharist? And maybe some of you see where I'm going with this. But the Eucharist, as we heard in our gospel, is true food. Precious consecrated host is true food, body and blood. And the consecrated chalice is true food. Both are true drink. They're essential for us. They're true nourishment for us. In a strange way, the body, just like our senses, sees, tastes, and thinks that these are bread and wine. And so what does it do? It uses them as nourishment. It breaks them down into minute cells and minute elemental parts and sends it to all of the cells in our body. And what do those cells do? They say, whoopee, here's some nourishment, I'm gonna use this. Mind you, Jesus is cloaked in those even elemental parts. So what happens? All of our cells receive Jesus. It's not just our spirit or our soul that receives Jesus when we receive the Eucharist. Our body receives him too. He's cloaked in these mere cloaks of bread and wine, accidents of bread and wine. So that's our nourishment, right? And that's an essential nourishment for us as Christians, as Catholics, that we receive Jesus because we need him. We need him. However, what did I say about nourishing our bodies? Well, our nourishment is for growth, right? It's for feeding the stimulus, the change. But if we feed on the Eucharist and just lock ourselves in a dark room, what change really happens? What change really happens? We need, with the Eucharist, to subject ourselves to stimulus, to change, to challenge, right? That's the important thing. That's how we truly grow as Christians. That's how we truly grow as his sons and daughters. That if we come to Mass, which itself is sort of a stimulus, it's a challenge to get here every week. If we come to Mass and simply receive, and then the rest of the week, we sort of lock that part in a dark closet and address nothing from God, where's the growth? Where's the growth? It's essential that we, like athletes, like musicians, engage. Engage in the discipline. Doesn't need to be in difficult, big ways. Small ways are essential. But as we grow, as any musician knows, you keep playing the same song, you're not gonna really improve. You need harder songs, maybe playing a variety of songs. And just like athletes, you need a variety of stimulus. You can't always do the same small things, necessarily. So, what does that look like for us? Well, the good thing is you're going to be nourished today. By simply coming up to receive communion, the Lord will be in you, and he'll go to all of your cells. And whatever stimulus you subjected to yourself to this week or this year will be fed. You'll be fed by him. And the change will happen. And on the level of your cells. But what are we called to do with that also? Well, we'll continue on in the journey. Don't let our bodies atrophy because we just sort of continue on with the same stimulus. You know, the saints constantly write about the change that happened in their own lives. you know, from ardent sinners to these amazing miracle workers, by the grace of God, but amazing miracle workers. The change is immense. How? They subjected themselves to stimulus and they received the Eucharist. There's many other things that happened there, but that's really, in simple terms, they subjected themselves to challenges for God and they received the Eucharist to feed them, to nourish them. That's all we need. That's all we need to do. Prayer is essential for this sort of stimulus. Opening up scripture, listening to what God has to say, reading it, following it, maybe including a rosary in your week if you don't. If you do, maybe increasing it to, if you can do it, once a day or a few times a week. Somehow taking steps forward. There's many things we can do. There's many stimulus that we can subject ourselves to. I think we have great faith in who God is, but we need to have hope in what he can do to our bodies, what he can do to our fleshiness. With that hope, and with the Eucharist, and with our continuing on in this journey, we will be called saints one day. The Lord is good, he is present, he is loving, he is always with us for this journey. He's so grateful that we are here to receive him in the Eucharist. What a blessing it is. What a blessing it is. Believe it and continue on in the journey. Amen.